Chapter 3. Agrippina Sector. On the bridge of the Lord Lieutenant Beric, the alarm bell started moments before the troop sender Spear of Aegeus exploded. Captain Zabusco scrolled through the readouts.
What happened?
He knew the captain of that craft well.
Plasma reactor overload, one of the flight crew suggested.
But then the first lance shots flared out, hitting the next ship, the Lady of Gygax, in her exposed belly.
Raise void shields, Captain Zabusco ordered. Now!
One by one, the surviving ships of the evacuation fleet got their void shields up. While the Spear of Aegeus burned, the captain of the Lady of Gygax ran through the emergency protocols in an effort to save his ship. She had suffered critical hull ruptures on 3 troop levels. The ship would be lost entirely unless her captain took drastic action. He did not hesitate in opening each of his void gates. The void sucked out the contents of the chambers. In the space of 2 minutes, 7,000 veterans of Cadia Tertius were expelled out into the freezing void. Those that forgot to exhale popped like human balloons. They died more quickly. The others swelled as the water in their skin and muscles evaporated. They lost consciousness. Within 2 minutes, all of them were dead. The transport Imperius George was hit by a torpedo in the Enginarium, rendering the slender lozenge of a craft powerless as the Sons of Malice battle barge, the Bronze Minos, moved alongside. In a colossal broadside, the Space Marines of the Sons of Malice vented centuries of hatred on the defenseless warriors of 17 surviving regiments of Cadians aboard the Imperius George. The venerable warrior followed the Lord Lieutenant Beric as they accelerated away. But there was no way that the slow transports could outrun a strike cruiser of the Renegade Astartes. Gruber summoned Lord Navigator Hippolytus. The abhuman limped into the room with his 2 rattling attendants. Gruber explained the situation. Was he well enough to take them to Terra?
The warp will not be any kinder to us than it was last time.
You do not think we would survive the jump?
I guarantee we would not.
And we have no hope of reaching Terra.
In these storms, no.
Can we fight them off?
Gruber asked Zabusco. The ship's captain shook his head at even the idea of it.
There is no way. Can we board them?
The captain laughed.
We have no boarders, only landers.
Are the landers equipped with boarding devices?
Zabusco shook his head. Gruber's Cadian training told him to make the jump, to attack, to stand and fight and to sacrifice his men.
We could board them via the landing bays. It would be suicide. Their attack craft would destroy us before we even got close.
Gruber leaned on the back of the captain's chair. Well, it seems we have no choice. Gruber closed his eyes. He could see Creed's face in his mind's eye, unshaven. The smell of his morning shot of Amasek on his breath, his lip curled into a sneer as he listened to the older general speak. That was what an old general would do, he told himself. He put his fingers to his forehead and tried to force the ghost of Crete to speak. Alarms rang as Gruber stood with his eyes closed. The enemy was closing. At last Gruber spoke.
Do you know this system, Captain?
Captain Zabusco shook his head.
I have not been to the Agrippina system before, he said.
Anyone else?
A naval sub-lieutenant stepped forward. He wore the black velvet greatcoat of Battlefleet Cadia, gold embroidery about his cuffs, and a pair of heirloom las pistols on his left hip.
Sir, my name is Lieutenant Denyam. I know the system well. I served for 10 years at Orant. I was an officer cadet on a Prometheum hauler, the Maya Hope.
Good man. Come here.
Gruber spelled out what he needed, and the younger man nodded.
If that is what you want, he said, then the best place would be here.
He put his finger to a point on the system charts. It was a small moon in an elliptical orbit about Morton's Key, one of the inner planets of the Agrippina system.
Morton's Key has one moon, Faith's Anchorage, uninhabited beyond a few Promethean mining facilities.
Ice world, Denyam said. It was Captain Zabusco who spoke.
If you land on Fate's Anchorage, I will try and draw them off.
Gruber listened to the captain's plan. Everything about it seemed crazy, but they had no more options before them. Gruber nodded.
Right. Then that is it. You will bring us into low orbit and disembark as many troops as possible. As soon as the landers get us off, Zabasco, you will proceed at full speed. They will either have to engage us or follow you.
If they do not follow me, they will destroy you, Zabasco said.
Gruber nodded.
Yes, they will. But then there is a chance that you can make it to Terra.
Lalling stepped forward.
General Gruber, you should accompany Zabasco to Terra.
You want me to flee? Gruber asked.
Lalink tried to explain his point, but Gruber cut him off.
I would be mortified to leave you behind. Any of you. No. I shall stand and fight with you. And if it is our fate to be killed, then so be it. We shall console ourselves with the hope that word will reach Terra.
There was a silence as his orders sank in. At last, Gruber looked up. The faces were all pale with concern.
Those are my orders. Please broadcast them to the surviving ships.
Captain Zabasco nodded. Orders were relayed down the vox tubes, and the stars in the viewport were starting to pan to the left as the Lord Lieutenant Beric changed course. Gruber drew his shoulders back and forced a smile. The end had come. On the ice moon of Faith's anchorage, Cadian High Command would make their last stand.